It's time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and archiving on Hoovy.tv on this July 23rd, 2022. I'm Mike Rickard, the hapless hack, with Gary Sermons, our unofficial executive producer, in for the cool caddy, Oscar Garner III, the big O. He's taking a little leave for a few hours at 23 years young. He had a little fun last night. We planned it ahead, and Gary was kind enough to come in and not pinch hit, to upgrade the coverage of the Seniors Open, since we both happen to be in that same clubhouse. I'll have you read that in a minute, Gary.
All right.
And, of course, we're here every Saturday from 11 to 12 from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. As I say, just a driver, well, for Gary, a driver and a chip away from the ticket office at Tropicana Field. For me, it's a 13-wood, and 13-wood, maybe an 8-iron, pitching wedge, and then a couple of putts. So he'd be down in 2, and I'd be down in 5. That's how close we are to Tropicana Field. We bring you the entire world of golf every week. This week we've got the Seniors, or the Champions Tour, as you will, with the U.S. In the books, the U.S. Senior Championship in the books, and now it's the British. We'll talk about that, or the Open. You can't say British any longer. And then, of course, we'll talk the 3M Championship. Got that leaderboard up in Minneapolis. Got a couple of friends up there following some of the guys around. And then Bradenton's own Nelly Cordes had a rough morning over in France. She had three bogeys consecutively. So we'll see how she finishes up there. Done over there. We'll go over that leaderboard. We've got, of course, the man himself, John Rieger, the resident pro, PGA America teaching professional. He'll be on about 11:30. We're battling over this next guest's name that Gary's lined up. I'm gonna try to be fluent and say Jacques Panay Raymond, and you're calling him Jack.
Well, I think Jack is close enough. Jacques Panay Ramon.
What's happening, the big J?
Yeah.
We'll call him JP.
Let's go JP. Or JR.
JP Raymond.
JP Raymond. Let's go with that.
JP Raymond.
Super guy, though. Super guy. He owns and he's the professional at Terracea Golf Club down in Palmetto, Florida. Beautiful golf course. It's short, Mike. You might like it. It's a great short course. Only problem is it's
kind of
tight.
Short.
Short, yes. Short and tight.
I don't mind tight. I can hit it straight. It's just that you can still... You can find my ball easily. I'm easy to play with, Gary.
Well, you play quicker. You get to the ball quicker.
I absolutely do. I play George Bush golf. Hit and get.
Hit and get,
He used to do 9 holes in record time because he felt guilty about golfing, and I always admired him about that.
Well, I play a lot of golf with guys that hit and find it, or can't find it.
I've played with a lot of guys that hit it, and you can't find it, but then all of a sudden they found it, about 50 yards further, and certainly in a better spot.
In the middle of fairway.
I'm sure you played with some guys like that before.
Oh, many times, man. Especially in college.
Yeah,
My fellow college competitors, you know, and all played with those guys, and they hit it. You always think you're a great player.
Who's supposed to watch the ball?
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea. We're supposed to watch it.
My son in the state championship in Iowa. Uh-huh. I caught a kid, and I didn't know what to do about it. I caught a kid. Michael was, you know, fighting for his life and for the championship, and this kid hit an OB. I was right there, and they said they couldn't find the ball. It's got they were the Valley Tigers. It's got the logo on it.
Oh, my God. They still
He's up about 40 yards and said, I got it.
Yeah.
And he had done that consistently in the round. I don't know how people can look themselves in the mirror.
I don't think that
happened at the collegiate level?
Oh, yeah. It certainly did. In fact, you know, you don't have spiders out there like a professional tournament.
Yeah.
Don't worry, they'll tell you what's out of bounds or not. You know, inbounds, you got to go up there and look for it. And if it's out of bounds, of course, you got to come out and hit another one, you know, at stroke and distance, you know. And so... It's kind of.
Did you call the guys on the carpet about it?
Oh yeah. And plus, you would know it too. You know, if your fellow competitor, you know, if he thinks it's out of bounds, you know, on the collegiate level, you're going to go ahead and hit another provisional ball. It's called, and that way you can play it from there in case your ball, first ball, initial ball, is out of bounds. So that saves time.
You're listening to On the Tee Florida right here on the On the Tee Florida hotline. Of course, we were going to start a text hotline next week. Completely new format. I've been saying that, but it's up ready and set, go. And next week it's going to be really exciting when you're listening to On the Tee Florida. Here's our affiliates, of course. It's WTAN 106.1 FM. That's the flagship up in Clearwater for St. Pete and Tampa and their AM sister, AM 1340. Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, as I said, for all three of them. WZHR FM 104.3. WDCF AM 1350, Zephyr Hills. WZHR 102.3 FM and AM 1400. And we've got all kinds of exciting news on a streaming channel that we'll be launching in September. Now let's get right to the Coors Seltzer. Let's go to the Coors Light leaderboards, and let's start with the old guys, because they're playing right now.
Oh, they're playing right now. In fact, they're on TV right behind us at Ferg Sports Bar down here in St. Pete. And we've got Darren Clark after six holes at 9-under leading by two over Jerry Kelly, who's on hole number 9 going to number 10. And Steve Alker, who the leading money winner is on the senior tour this year, who's going to break some records at 6-under. So he's not far behind. So it's going to be a close match all the way through tomorrow.
Well, and you know, I love the Elker story because, you know, he didn't have success. Well, I don't think he was on the tour. He was at Corn Ferry.
I think so.
No, Rieger told me that. He was Corn Ferry Cat.
Oh,
and,
great.
And now look at the success he's having.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's
incredible
the beauty success. And the opportunity that the Champions Tour affords a lot of players. And I saw a lot of them, you know, covering the seniors up in Iowa every year at their annual event. I love Darren Clark.
Oh, yeah, so do I. I mean, the guy's the ultimate. What did he do? Fill his, when he won the British Open, or the Open Championship a few years ago.
Yeah.
He said, what are you going to fill it with? You're going to fill it with lots of beer and have some fun with it.
He lost his wife about a decade ago, and he was just devastated. And he won afterwards.
That's why
it was so emotional, and the entire world was behind him.
Behind him.
And it was an incredible story. You know, at your age and my age, you work out harder than I do.
12-ounce curls.
Yeah. Hey, I heard you. There was a sighting of you and your wife at Ferg's. Unbelievable last night.
Yes, you're right.
There's a couple that look just like you, apparently.
Evidently. We've got twins.
Yeah.
This is our favorite.
The Big O said he ran into you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You should have seen the Big O this morning. He's not doing so well.
Well, I think he was here a little bit longer than we were. We got out here about 10:30. We got here about 5:30. And we
saw
Big O about.
That's a nice run.
Oh, that is a long run. And had a great time. It poured. We wanted to leave about an hour earlier than that. We looked outside in the parking lot, coming down sideways here. The rain poured, thunder, lightning everywhere. And I said, let's go have one more adult beverage. So we went and had another one. Then we went to leave again. It's still raining. Let's have one more. And then we left.
Built-in excuse.
We Ubered home.
thank you, Paul Delgado, for us.
Yes.
Giving us the update so we could keep drinking some coldies. You want to hear a story of buffoonery last night?
Let's hear it.
I go to Carmelita's and I rush out of here about 6:30 to meet my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on the phone. I'm not paying attention.
Uh-huh.
It's now, mind you, it's 6:30.
Yeah.
And I've got the vehicle right behind you with the top down. We're eating. And all of a sudden I hear thunder. And I'm like, it's raining out there? Absolute pouring.
No.
It had been pouring.
And the top is down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I had a trough. There's six in. And there's all these people waiting in line to get in, and they're all watching me. Talk about.
Try to put the top up.
Oh, they're saying, look at this idiot.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
I'm in 6 inches of water.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything real important. And I'm getting new seats. But typical Iowan out running around. Iowa stands for Idiots Out Wandering Around.
Now, is that a Bentley, Rolls Royce?
Oh, yeah. That's my Bentley, brother.
With a Toyota emblem.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that cool? Nice Bentley.
I like that. That's nice. Sharp,
that's a beast
sharp.
Buggy. Anyway.
Mike knows how to roll.
Yeah, I certainly don't know how to roll up the top. That's for sure. Okay, let's go to the Evian Championship. And Brooks Henderson's on top, 17 under. And as of yesterday, Nelly was, you know, one or two strokes behind her.
Yep. Yep.
And then I watched for a period of time this morning. She had three consecutive bogeys.
Oh no!
And then you know, they finished over there now. Nelly's in sixth place at 1,100. She's six back. She can rally, but you know she's still going through the rebuilding process of her entire game, or her physical condition after 4 months off.
4 months
with that blood clot.
Yep. Yep. I think she's going to bounce back. She's got the talent to do that. My gosh! And her sisters. You know,
Jessica.
Right up there also. My God, they're both, what a great athletic family.
And unfortunately, nobody's paying attention after an exhausting weekend of watching golf last weekend, but the 3M Championship, and it used to be a seniors event, and now it's a regular stop on the tour. Scott Piercy sits on top at 15 under. Emiliano Grillo, easy for me to say, 12 under, and then Chesson Hadley, 9 under. A lot of guys you haven't heard about because... the big names are taking the weekend off after a long trip across the pond.
Exactly. I think a lot of these big names like Tony Finau is doing well. I thought maybe he'd have jet lag, you know, from the Open Championship. Not to be. He's playing well this week, too. Tony Finau and other ones, too.
Where is Tony? Tied for fourth now. He is 8 under.
8 under? Okay, good.
So he's got a little challenge ahead of him.
He started out at 7 under going in today.
So how's your summer been? I haven't seen much of you.
You're busy.
You've been golfing a lot.
I've been trying to play some golf and trying to set up some guests here, you know, for the show.
Appreciate that very much.
Oh, that's quite all right. We love the show. Mike, you do a great job with the show. This Monday, my little sister Janie was on the show, is going to try to qualify for the U.S. Senior Women's Open up in New York, which is going to be played August 25th, 28th. If she does, then good old Gary will fly up there, will drive up there, the caddy for her. So I'm going to call her from the show.
Where's it at?
It's at NCR Country Club in Dayton, Ohio, August 25th to August 28th. The Senior Women's Open, it's the fourth annual. Janie's played in every one of them.
Well,
we
wish her well, man. That'd be a blast.
That would be great. And I'll call in from up there, and I'll see if I can get some maybe Annika Sorenstamp to talk on the radio with you.
That'd be cool.
That would be great.
You've been on her bag before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been on her bag with when she was on the tour. I was on her bag at the Orange Blossom Classic here in St. Petersburg. Your U.S. Women's Open. And I've caddied for probably about 10 to 15 tournaments I've caddied for my sister. My dad, the majority of the tournaments. And here he was, our age, caddying for my sister when she got her card. And then I took over when Dad needed a break. And, I tell you, that bag was heavy. And here he was at 63, 64 years old.
Well, you're going to find out, but you're fit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm hoping. I'm hoping to stay that way.
Should I give J.P. Raymond a call?
Yes, give him a call.
Okay, we're going to give
Jacques
Panay Raymond.
JP or JR?
We'll ask him.
Yeah, we'll ask him. He's giving a tee off, too, at 11:30, I believe, at his golf course down there.
And what track is he on?
A Terracea Golf Club in Palmetto, Florida. We played there, and I tell you what a nice track. You'll like it, Mike. It's a great track. It's, like I said, it's short, tight, a lot of water, a lot of alligators. So you got to watch your step there. But you stay away from them, they'll stay away from you.
Well, hopefully he's with us. Welcome to On the Tee Florida. Is it Jacques Panay Raymond? I think we may have gotten his voicemail, my man.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is it 11? Time.
Yeah.
We should be.
Oh, you know what? We're offline. Let me call him on our hard line. How about that?
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. So, how did you run into him?
I ran into him. We do the Super Bowl golf tournament down there every Super Bowl Sunday. And I have about 20 of my friends down there. I do organize a little golf tournament for us. And we have lunch down there. The food is absolutely fantastic. Great clubhouse. Beautiful clubhouse, in fact, for a small course. But it's par 70, 71. Maybe par 60, I can't remember. But anyway, it's a beautiful track. Always in great shape, great driving range, great putting green, practice facility. And the people down there, the service staff, are incredible. Really, really nice.
There we go.
Okay, you got it.
Hey, Mike?
Is it Jacques Panay?
It is. Who's this? Mike?
This is Mike from On the Tee Florida, sitting across from your buddy Gary Sermons. How are you, my man?
Hey, Good. How you doing?
Hey, Zach. Hey, thanks for coming out again. I appreciate it.
Can you hear me all right? Because I'm outside on the course.
Yeah, I can hear you. He may not be able to hear you, Gary.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, Gary's sitting across from me, and we're stumbling, bumbling, and fumbling through a technical issue, but we wanted to catch up with it. He's been describing your track, and he says it's absolutely fabulous. And why don't you give us a little bio on yourself and the golf course? And we've got a nice audience here on the Tee Florida to like have you share some information with.
Oh, geez, at least say everything, talking about myself. What do you want to know?
Where are you from originally? Your golf history.
All right, I'll give you a quick bio. Born in Montreal, I grew up in Boston. Started playing golf when I was 24. Became a professional when I was 27. Did a lot of mini tour stuff. Played PGA, you know, tournaments, National Club Pro a few times. Got 22 tournament victories. Became a teaching pro. Worked at golf schools. And then ended up buying this golf course about 7 years ago. 6 years ago. And it's been a dream. It's awesome. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jack. It's Gary Sermons. How you doing? Hey, I tell you what, I knew your bio somewhat of it, but not that extensive. I didn't realize you won all those tournaments, which is fantastic. And I've talked to you before, not just on the phone setting this up, but at your golf course. And I have a group that goes down there every Super Bowl Sunday, and we have like 20 of us, and you guys treat us like royalty down there. And the lunch, I've told Mike, challenging. I told Mike it was short for Mike, but also awful tight, though, too. So he might have trouble finding his ball after he hits it. But, well, what a nice track, though. And your people down there are fantastic.
I listen, it was really hard hearing you, but I got a gist of it. But yeah, this golf course is really fun. It's par 62. We now have 20 holes, so we could be par 70. We added two as we're kind of have a little flexibility in here. But it's kind of course you can play in under 3 hours. 3 hours basically is what we expect. And it's affordable. So we have a certain clientele that loves it and get out here and whip around. Our slowest days of the week are Saturdays and Sundays. So you can get a tee time almost any day of the week. During the off season, during the season, we have 47 leagues to play out of here Monday through Friday. So Saturdays and Sundays are the best day to play for the general public. And it's very affordable.
And I like that. You can play it pretty quick, too, in 3 hours because, you know, golf, you know, some golf courses just take forever to play, to finish, and slow play. And your course plays very quick, very quick. And then you go up there afterwards and enjoy a bite to eat up in the restaurant there. And I told Mike the food is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't fool yourself. The executive course, it's extremely challenging. We've got, you know, three par threes touching around 200 yards from the blue tees. If you think you're going to come whip this course off, nobody ever does. And we have scramble tournaments here. 8 under is usually a winning score. Greens are very small, so they're difficult to hit. But, yeah, it's fun track. And I think the biggest thing is getting around in 3 hours and having the rest of the day off.
Yeah, it's a fun track. I tell you what, I enjoy it. Everybody that we take down there enjoys it, and you're exactly right, though. People think that they're going to tear it apart. They never do. They never do. The smaller greens, always in great shape, and it makes it tough. You've got to have a really good short game, you know, and because you're going to miss a lot of greens.
Yeah, it was a superintendent this last year, and he's done an unbelievable job. So it's the best shape it's been in. Been a long time. Really excited about what's going on here. A lot of excitement in the community, a lot of play. Very fun.
Well, this show, and I had it in the Midwest for 20 years, is typically two pros and a hack, and I'm the hack. And I've tore up a lot of courses across the country in the past. Do you welcome hacks like myself, or you prefer?
Of course.
You prefer the Gary Sermons of the world that know what the hell they're doing there, Jacques?
Well, you know, it's funny you say it about hacks. I believe personally, I'm a PGA Master professional, been doing this for a while, but I believe personally the PGA missed the boat about 20 years ago when they stayed with this dress code. They missed a whole generation of grunge kids playing golf, and they wonder why the numbers haven't grown over the years. Well, you know, I don't care if you're playing jeans or t-shirt. I want you to have a good time. You know, as far as hacks go, yeah, come play. too much restrictions in golf, you know, leading up to people feeling like they don't want to play ever. So I'm from the other way. I want everybody playing.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, then you and I are going to visit, because I used to host a charity event called the Hack Nation Invitational up north. And now that I've launched On the Tee Florida here in the last 6 months, I'm going to emulate that. And I think I'm just going to right now commit to you that we're going to have this baby on your track because of that attitude. We'll have a lot of fun. We've got Coors Light behind us, and we'll have a blast. And we have, you know, we have the Gary Sermons of the world. We set up the flights, but everybody wins the same amount. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they shoot 115 or they shoot 75. It's an absolute blast, and we'll get the NFL alumni involved and Florida
That's
Sports
awesome.
Hall of
We'd
Fame.
Love to have you.
Yeah. So we're gonna have the Hack Hack Nation Invitational at your track, and Gary and I'll come down sometime in the next month, and we'll visit with you. How's that sound?
Perfect. Yeah. Just give me a heads up. Let's go tee it up. Sounds great.
All right, man. Well, I hear you got to go tee it up in about 2 minutes.
No, I'm on the golf course. I'm on the second green. You ran when I was standing over about a 12-footer for birdie on one.
Oh, hell, I don't want to stop the rhythm, man.
Well, I got to putt right now, so hold on a second. Hold on.
Yeah. This is I love this. Yeah. a little live radio. This guy is my kind of guy, my man.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's a great guy.
Yeah, you can talk to me. He just can't
oh,
hear
he's
you.
A great guy. I mean, my gosh, he's... Nice guy.
Yeah,
he's one of us.
I just lipped out. Marked a 365.
What the hell? Even a hack can make a putt. How long was it?
Oh, I don't know. I was about 25 footer.
Oh, I thought you had a gimme.
No.
I take back my statement. I apologize. Yeah. Well, my friend, I'll let you continue to round, but I'm glad that this conversation took place. Someone that appreciates, because my whole thing has been, you know, growing the game and getting the younger generation. I have a 23-year-old that helps me with this course, and he feels the same way. He worked at Oakland Hills. He knows everything about etiquette. But his generation, man, they just want to go out and have fun. They don't want some old bastard like me telling them you can't just wear your grunge T-shirt or your Beatles tee or whatever the hell you want.
Yep. Well, listen, if there's any kids in the area who want free instruction, I do a Wednesday night clinic, 5 o'clock. It's free. Christian base. I throw a little stuff in there for the kids, keep them honest. But yeah, I give it away free on Wednesdays, 5 o'clock. Come on out.
Well, you know what? I'm going to reach out to you this week. I want that information because we're heavily involved up here with First Tee, and anybody that's doing anything at that level, I want to promote, support. We'll put it on our social media. We'll talk loud and proud about it on the air every week. And Christian base kids, you just struck another nerve with the old man. So you're 2 for 2. And this conversation is 3. So 3 for 3 today. Go break your course record, man. We'll let you go.
Awesome, guys. Good talking to you. See ya. Peace.
Great guy.
Great guy. Great. I knew you'd like him. I mean, guys, he's he's not a member of the Hack Nation, but he could lead the Hack Nation. That's for sure.
Yeah, but he can play the game.
Yes, he can play the game. They certainly
to
can.
To be the bona fide grand poobah, come on.
Yes,
like
I know.
Jackie Gleason back in the day, you got to suck.
Exactly. You got to suck to get better.
Yeah.
And then you get better.
Yeah. And
sure, at one point, he was a member of Hack Nation, like all of us. Like all of us.
Well, you never have been.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Started. But speaking of First Tee, yes. And of course First Tee of St. Pete, mm-hmm. Did I tell you on Father's Day I went out to the facility?
Uh-huh.
At
know that.
What is it?
I didn't know that.
Twin Brooks.
Yeah.
Twin Brooks.
Yeah, on 22nd.
I was feeling sorry for myself, you know.
Yep.
Nobody around, kids are all gone. I'm like, ah, man, poor me. I thought, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Go hit some balls. So I was actually heading to the St. Pete Country Club. And I'm invited there. It's not like
course.
I was just going to, you know,
yep.
invade there. But I had St. Pete Country Club gear on just in case.
Well, of course.
Yeah,
but
it's, you know, their driving range is in the freaking blinding sun, first of all.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm driving by there at 22nd. I thought, what the hell? I did a U-turn, went in there,
uh-huh.
fell in love with the place.
Yep.
It's got an awning.
Yep.
And it was U.S. Open, obviously,
yep.
Father's Day weekend. I had that on my phone.
They probably had it on the pro shop there.
Yeah, but I was at the end,
yep.
and it was perfect. And I thought, I found my place. And it's a nice par three. A good place to practice.
It's got covered. It's covered.
That's
driving
what, that
range.
Was the key.
It's got the mats. It's beautiful. That, really, and the green, the practice putting green there, Mike, is fantastic. The green there. The greens, in fact, on that golf course. If you haven't played it yet, great shape. I mean, beautiful shape. My gosh, it's tough. Hey, real quick, I wanted to go ahead and promote. There's a golf tournament for Northeast High School coming up, if it's okay.
Yeah.
If I mentioned it, Kenny Betts, a former guest of ours here, director of golf at Mangrove Bay.
Last week, I had the Northeast, I had the Vikings sitting right where you're at.
Oh, you're kidding.
Head coach Sean Davis.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
Exactly. And I'm going to be going to their games this year. And I forgot that Betts was an alum.
Oh, yeah. So am I. I played at Northeast High Golf
Team. You'd be proud of me
too.
That I had.
That's great. I appreciate that.
They went 9-1 last year, and he thinks he has a better team this year.
Wow.
I'll
that's
introduce
great.
You. He's a regular here at Ferg, Sean Davis.
Is he really? You know, I called him and left a message. He never called me back about being on the show, about being on this show as Northeast High School golf coach. I wanted him here, and he never called me back, so I figured.
No, this guy's the football coach.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, this is the golf coach.
Yeah, we got to get him.
Put a shout out to him.
Yep. Tell him that Sean Davis will hunt him down.
I will. Hey, on July 31st, we have Northeast High School's putting on a golf scramble. It's called the Hall of Fame Golf Scramble. July 31st, 8 o'clock shotgun start at Mangrove Bay Golf Club in St. Petersburg. Four-person scramble. They have gross and net prizes. $100 a player, includes barbecue lunch and some prizes and all. And it's going to, proceeds will help the college scholarships for male and female senior student athletes. So it's a great cause, and 8 o'clock shotgun, July 31st.
Great plug and great synergies between Sean Davis. Yeah. I just fell in love with the guy. His son plays football at Iowa State University.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, he's a defensive back and a very solid solid guy. All right, I'll do a little take care of a little business, and then we'll talk to John Rieger.
All right.
And again, we'll have to share this mic. The beauty of John Rieger, I throw it to him, and he's got so much information, and he totals it up all week. I don't have to ask too many questions.
No.
And that's good for radio.
Exactly.
Okay, right now.
Exactly.
Hey, let's talk work ethic, honesty, and personal service in the wide world of real estate in Champa Bay. And that's my friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheiner, she was down here last Saturday. You'll see her out here. She's got an open invitation to come down every Saturday and mingle with the folks. First-class real estate, Gulf to Bay. She brings her Midwest work ethic, as I like to say, integrity, commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge, growing up in a family of home construction success for decades. And in fact, folks, this is just one little testimonial. She closed a house for some people, and she helped them paint it.
You're kidding.
After.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's going above and beyond.
Yeah.
That's
and I think she also helps some people painting to get their property ready.
Wow.
Now, not too many
realtors do that.
Yeah, well, she grew up in, you ever had Wells Blue Bunny? The best ice cream on the planet?
Oh, my God, the best.
From Lamar's, Iowa.
Yep.
And that's where she's
good.
From.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you, that kind of realtor, that kind of work ethic goes a long way. And that's why she's so successful.
Exactly. You know? So I mean, her energy, and it's sincere, her bubbly personality, takes the stress out of the challenge of home buying. I assure you, I've recommended her. I'm still digging for more leads for her. Anybody you know.
Good.
You know.
I certainly will.
She's our gal.
I certainly will.
And Barb with Champa Bay today. Get a hold of her at 712-540-3704. That's 712-540-3704. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today.
Great customer service.
Hey, what's the name of that track again?
Terracea Golf Club.
Terracea.
Down on Palmetto. Just over the bridge, Mike. Just over the bridge. Over the Skyway Bridge.
It's not far from where I live. Down
exactly. Oh, yeah. It'll take you from St. Pete Beach probably 20 minutes to get there. 20 minutes and you're on the first tee.
Really?
Down there. Oh, my God.
Well, that's where we're having the Hack Nation Invitational.
Yes,
and I'm going to get Rieger with his cigar, his Panama hat, his... whatever he wants to drink, hopefully it's Coors Light for a while with our sponsors, and then we'll move him to the hard stuff. He's John Rieger. He's kind enough to join us. What's going on in Crescent Beach today, my man?
Well, what a great show, Mike. This has been fun to listen in to you guys. Having a great day, and there's quite a few tidbits of news coming out of Florida, and earlier in the week we talked about this. It was the moving of the World Golf Hall of Fame in 2024 to Pinehurst. And I don't know, Mike, have you ever had a chance to go visit the World Golf Hall of Fame?
No, you know what? I know Gary has, and it's been on my bucket list, and I think I sent you a text. I'm getting my old carcass over there this fall. I mean, it, to me, it's a travesty. I've had at least a dozen friends that was actually their destination point on their trip to Florida, and here I have lived here going on 7 years, and I haven't been over. It's foolish.
Well, yeah, it started out in 1974 in Pinehurst, North Carolina, and it was managed by the Pinehurst Company, so they're the ones who built that and managed it, and it limped along a little bit. They didn't really have the attendance that they thought they would have, but Pinehurst today is a totally different place than it was even in 1974. There's more golf courses, more housing, there's more people going to Pinehurst to play golf. And when they built this, what had happened is around 1988, the PGA of America took over the management of it. And then they went ahead and they got it moved down here in 1990. So what happens is that here's what I think happened. They built, it's a beautiful place. I mean, they've got two really nice golf courses, one designed by Sam Snead, one by Gene Saracen, nice hotel. You got Bill Murray's Caddyshack Brothers restaurant there, which is quite unique. And they built this big circle around the pond, and they had a putting course, a replica of the 17th hole at TPC, and everything seemed to be going good for a while, but you needed to have at least 300,000 people a year to go visit there to make ends meet. And the location can't be any better. That's right off I-95, just south of Jacksonville, in the St. Augustine area. And it seems like they had everything going for it, but they never could get the attendance. And they have an IMAX theater there also. But the businesses around the circle started drying up, and they didn't get the attendance. And my theory is that the World Golf Hall of Fame needs to be at a place that is a golf destination. That doesn't mean that Florida's not a golf destination. Florida's the golf capital of the world. There are more miles of fairways in Florida than there are beaches. Think about that. There's more miles of fairways than beaches in Florida. And with all that, you look at it and you think that, well, why didn't it work out? Well, Pinehurst is a perfect place for it to go back. The USGA is going to take over control of it. The USGA made a major commitment to Pinehurst recently. They're moving part of their headquarters there. They're moving, they're going to move their museum there. So when you start putting this all together, it couldn't be a better marriage because, Pinehurst will get, a million golfers a year go to Pinehurst. Well, chances are now that you go to Pinehurst, you're going to go there. Yeah, you're just going to make it part of your deal. Just like you go to any other city, especially as golfers like Myrtle Beach, there are certain places in Myrtle Beach you go because you're in Myrtle Beach. And so I think that that's what will be a big difference. But, yeah, to me it's a big blow to this area because it had everything going for it, the support of the PGA Tour. But, Shell Oil was a 20-year sponsor, and a couple of years ago they decided to back out. And when I don't say back out, no, they ended their commitment. All right, they didn't really back out. They had a 20-year commitment. They didn't renew anything, and so it kind of started putting them in financial straits. So with that, I'm not sure the future of that particular area, but you still have nice golf courses and the restaurant, the hotel, and things like that, but I think they're going to have to redevelop that a little bit and see what they do for the future. But, yeah, it's tough to say that, we're going to lose the World Golf Hall of Fame, but it's going to be in a better place.
Well, a couple of things. Let's go back to the U.S. Open. Let's go back to the Open last week and your analysis of it. And I was curious as to when is the golf cart ticker tape parade going to take place in Jacksonville for Cam Smith when he returns home from his two-week party stint?
Well, Cam's quite a fisherman. He and Billy Horschel almost won a big fishing tournament up here. And so he's, Cam has fit right into this area for years, and, he's an outdoorsman. I don't know if we'll be able to do a golf cart parade, but I think that Cam is something that is going to be a long-term star on the PGA Tour, and it wasn't a surprise that he won his first major, but what was really something is that his putting. I mean, it's really something that he just putted very, very, very well. And that's usually what it takes, you know, to separate yourself and win the tournament. And, you know, earlier in the day before everybody teed off, somebody asked me, well, you know, is Rory a shoe-in? What's going to happen? I said, well, you could have Rory's going to need to shoot at least 69 to win the tournament because somebody could come from behind and shoot 65 or 6 and overtake him. And sure enough, that's what happened. So Rory, though, hit 18 greens in regulation. That's amazing. You know, for listeners out there, I'm probably going to describe something that's pretty stupid, but yet there's some listeners don't understand what a green in regulation is. When you're playing on a golf course, you're supposed to hit your shot on a par 3 and 1, par 4s and 2, par 5s and 3. So greens in regulation. So normally the stats, if you check the stats out with the PGA Tour, you know, the leaders are like 12, 13 greens regulation overall throughout the whole year. So it's very unusual that you had 18 greens regulation and not win the tournament. But that shows you how much putting was involved, and Rory just did not have the putter working at all. You know, and the two birdies he made were two putts when he hit a green, like on a par 5 in 2. You know, so he hit in regulation, one under it, regulation, actually. So, yeah, the take of it, you know, Cam Smith, he's become the new fashion plate. I saw a tweet from John Daly that was congratulating him. John Daly won the 1995 British Open, kissed him the trophy with his mullet.
That was classic.
That was great.
Yeah, set that out. I thought that was just wonderful. So, yeah, there's been a lot of variations and memes out there. But
two mullet men.
You're going to see a lot of him to come. What was very interesting, though, is when they had to ask him about LIV Golf. You know, can you please just let the man have a great day and a great press conference, you know? You worry about all those things later, but that's the world we live in when it comes to golf journalists.
You're listening to On the Tee Florida, and it's our weekly John Rieger report, brought to you by Coors Light down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in our 19th hole clubhouse studios. I'm sure you set the alarm and been watching the seniors open, and it's kind of fun to see Darren Clark on top of that leaderboard. I've always been a fan of John. Gary and I talked about it earlier. One of the things I was trying to get to is the beauty of it. Here's Gary and I and you, and we're all trying to stay in shape so we can survive a little bit longer. You look at some of those guys that are out there walking around across the pond right now. They don't look too fit, but they sure as hell can still play the game of golf.
They got fast hands, that's for sure. That's what you got to have. Hey, I got an interesting story for you. So 2016, Marco Dawson won that tournament, you know, won the Senior Open Championship. And Marco was a local. He played golf at Florida Southern with Lee Jansen over in Lakeland, Florida, along with Rocco Mediate. So they had quite the team over there. So and Marco was one of our pro members at the Bloomingdale Golfers Club years ago. And so Marco has played on the tour for a long time and got on the Champions Tour and done quite well. Well, so we're getting ready to watch the tournament because we know Marco pretty well, and I helped develop a golf course called Adena for a multi-billionaire in Ocala. And I get this call the first day of the tournament that says, hey, we just signed Marco Dawson to an endorsement contract to represent Adena. And I go, that's good. He was leading the tournament. He goes, you got to get some hats and shirts with logos on them too. Well, you know, if you ever try to FedEx something overnight to another country, it's not easy. So all we had, because we were in the midst of opening the golf course, we didn't really have our inventory in our golf shop yet, but we had the hats and the shirts for the cart guys. So it had our Adena logo on it and had our Adena logo on the hat. That's all you had. So normally when you see people playing these tournaments, it looks like NASCAR. They get logos everywhere. So my wife was put in charge of that. So we round up the stuff. We spent hours and hours and hours, and we didn't even have a FedEx account. Well, it turned out that our multi-billionaire owner actually has, and not in a bad way, obviously, and it's not very popular now, but he knew Putin personally. And so I don't know who he called, but we had to call the Russian embassy in Washington. What we did is we boxed everything up. We bought an airline ticket for the box. We put it in coach. flew it up there. They took the box off the plane. They took it to the Russian embassy, and then they personally drove it from London over into Scotland where they're playing the tournament. Okay. And so now that was the second day of the tournament. It arrived. So, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, my job's if this guy doesn't have his Adina hat on, you know, my butt is grass, you know, I mean, I'm just like, you know, so what happened? Sure enough. So I turned on the broadcast that day and there he is. He's got our Adina hat and shirt and then he wins the tournament. And then worldwide, there is him kissing the jug and the Adina hat, Adina shirt. There's no other logos on him because he had to take his logo stuff off and put that on because he was representing Adina. So that was quite a
great story.
Quite an odyssey to make that happen. That's my Open Championship story, but it was a fun one. It's great to see Marco win that tournament. I think he's like 2 under this year in the tournament. He's not playing too bad, but we'll see what happens over the weekend.
7 out. John, that is not a golf story. That is a marketing and branding Hall of Fame success. And I don't think anybody could ever touch it and get that creative. So I applaud you. And as a guy that's always fumbling, stumbling, bumbling with ideas, that is superb.
Yeah, then I think back to it. What I should have done is volunteer to fly over there and just put it in my suitcase and catch the final round. But I'm just not that smart.
Well, you're on my book, my friend. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. So I keep hearing you talk about the hack invitation. I'm going to give you an idea on the radio right here.
I'm ready.
I'm going to give you an idea for a golf tournament.
We need it.
And I've always wanted to do this somewhere. Maybe you're the one that can make this happen. It's called the Great American Golf Tournament. And what you do is you get teams of people together that represent their team. So you get a team that could represent the Sheriff's Department, a team to represent the Marines, and a team that can represent the Republican Party, a team that represents the Democratic Party, a team that represents the FBI, whatever it is, whatever organization, whatever patriotic thing you want to represent. Okay, and you play a scramble, and you come and you decorate your stuff up representing whatever team you are. You don't have to be a Marine or ex-Marine to have a Marine team, okay? More of a theme event. And then what you do, you know, and you get the Sheriff's Department involved, the Police Department, you get the SWAT team. So what you do is you play golf in the morning, and then at the end of the day, you have the Great All-American Cookout, and the tournament finishes up, and you have hardware out there. So, you know, get the Army to bring a tank. Get the Sheriff's Department to get a helicopter there. Get the fire department to show up with a big fire engine. And so you bring the kids. It's a big family cookout. And then the kids can have a good time seeing all this big stuff laying around. Everybody's prideful of their country and who they represent. And have some bragging rights for the next year as the winners of the Great American Golf Tournament. What do you think?
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea, my man. Excellent idea.
I never thought of something like that. Never.
Well, I'm just thinking there's only one person that can pull that off.
John Rieger.
And that is you, Mike.
John Rieger.
John Rieger.
John.
You're my... In fact, Barry Smith's always coming up with ideas for me, but you're my guy. I got to get you down here, or you're going to be invaded by Barry and I one of these weekends after the show.
Well, good. You know, hey, I have a couple guests coming up on your show in a couple weeks here. One of them is going to be Dennis Cohn, and he started an organization called Professional Caddies Association. And I know that since you have this affinity towards caddies that you know, they have their own Hall of Fame with the Professional Caddies Association that the Western Golf Association maintains. Interesting guy. A lot of interesting things they do. And so that's going to be one of your guests coming up, trying to get him to nail down when it's going to be a good Saturday. But that'll be an interesting show for us.
Well, yeah, and I'll have to get the growler down here as well. I wonder if he's in that. Glenn Strickler?
I'm not sure. We'll find out.
We'll have to look that up. So what's on the agenda this weekend up there in God's country, Crescent Beach? Hey, any shark sightings since you're right there on the Atlantic?
There's sharks all the time.
I'm not talking Greg Norman. I'm talking about...
Well, I mean like real sharks, not golfers.
Exactly.
Hey, I saw this article that you had texted me, and I looked at it, and I guess I'm trying to figure out, is Charles Barkley going to join Live Golf as an answer or not?
It looks like he is. It absolutely looks like he's going to join Live. And it blows me away that he's going to give up the NBA. His buddies are going to hammer him, man, in his circle in the NBA. But at the same time, they're going to applaud him. And I thought you would really appreciate his response on his consideration of this. He said, hey, man, I've been sports washing forever. He said, I've been with Nike for almost 30 years. And he was brutally honest. And that's just Sir Charles.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's the whole point that a lot of people are making. So it's you can't be selective in your outrage when it comes to professional sports or business, because I saw, I guess he quoted that Saudi Arabia is like our third biggest trading partner. So I just don't see how people can selectively be outraged when you look at your own companies, look at your own portfolio, investment portfolios, look at your favorite athletes like Nike, and look at Tiger Woods, Roy McIlroy, and so I think the selective outrage is ludicrous. Let him go play for a lot of money, and will it destroy the PGA Tour? Of course not. It's not going to destroy the PGA Tour, but there's room for another big tour out there, and they're going to have one, and I think that they do have a lot of money. They paid a lot of money. I don't think people really realize how much money Saudi Arabia really has, okay? And they'll continue to have a lot of money as long as we use oil, and we will be using oil for a long time, contrary to what the greenies say. We'll be paying a lot for oil, and we'll be in business with them for a long time. So these people are funding golf. I don't think Greg Norman is trying to destroy golf. I just think he wants to have a world tour here and instead of like the PGA Tour banning appearance fees, this is basically what you're being paid to appear, and you play for a lot of money too. That's the business formula of it.
Well, what do you ultimately think will happen in this? Now that the Open is behind us, there's no majors. Of course, we're going to have the FedEx Series here a few weeks from now, and that'll keep people's attention with President's Cup conversations. But that gives both sides some downtime to strategically examine what their options are. If there's any common ground, what would John Rieger, what would be your prediction if you were sitting next to what's our man on the Golf Channel that's just getting hammered by Greg Norman?
Randall Chamblee.
Randall Chamblee, yeah. What would be your response?
Well, Randall Chamblee makes money and is still relevant because of how iconoclastic he is when it comes to topics like this. And so I think that, Randall played on the tour, and he may have won one tournament or something. I'm not sure if he ever did, but he may have. So he was good enough to play there. He's good enough to compete on the tour, and he's been around the world of golf. So, of course, his opinion counts because, he's been around it. And he knows the players, and he knows the game of golf. But at the same time, now he's trying to take down and trash, a World Golf Hall of Famer. Okay. He's trashing Greg Norman and making Greg Norman look like a pitiful person. Well, Randall's bread is buttered by the Golf Channel. Okay. That's his job. They are in bed with the PGA Tour. The last thing you'll ever hear from Randall Chamblee is to be critical of the PGA Tour because he loses his job. So, and the other thing is, too, is that as an aging tour player, for him, and when I say aging tour player, he's long gone off the PGA Tour and I don't think he'll play in the Champions Tour. He might be able to get into an event for a sponsor's exemption just for fun or something, but I doubt that he's going to try to, he would give that up to go compete. But I think that Randall sometimes needs to, pick his foot off the pedal when it comes to harassing Greg Norman and some of the things he says, because it just makes Randall look small, I think.
Well, you know, I'm a Charles Barkley, I'm in his fan club. I think he would be used. I don't want him as an analyst. I want him in. But they just picked up one of my favorite guys, David Faraday. I could see him in that type of role, but I guess he's going to be a utility player. Is what the conversations are. Well, he'll do some analysis, some on course, and then just this morning I heard that one of the formats they're talking about is you'll be able to, let's say your Toyota. I'm looking at my car. Your Toyota. You'll be able to buy a team of four. And I just don't like the, it reminds me of XFL and USFL and all the gimmicky stuff. And it hasn't been embraced. And I don't think that, those type of formats will be embraced, John.
Well, we're embedded in tradition. All right. And your previous guest was talking about dress code and things like that that may have hindered a lot of young people wanting to get involved with the game of golf, and it's true. So I think that, when you get too embedded into tradition, well, traditions were established in some way, shape, or form. Okay, when they weren't a tradition, when professional golf started, there were no traditions in professional golf. And now there are. You know, there's the tradition is to play 72 holes of golf. The tradition is you have to wear pants when you play in the tournaments, okay?
You got to wear pants. I've been in my boxers more than once and never got caught.
Well, that's why you do radio, Mike, versus television, in case you have to stand up or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm the guy that got busted in Zoom. Hey, I hate to cut you off. We're getting to the top of the hour, as usual. I appreciate all your knowledge, your support, and your creativity. And I'll talk to you this week. We'll go over some ideas. How's that sound?
Fantastic, and I got a tweet from you the other day and talking about some fantastic new things coming up, so I can't wait to hear what they are.
All right, my man. I'll talk to you. Take that bucket of Coors Light out there and take some selfies and send it to me.
Ice cold Coors Light.
My man, John Rieger. All right, Hey, thanks. Hey, I appreciate you coming down. You didn't get to participate much.
That's fine.
But I love being
down here. This is fun.
Next week, we're going to have an actual person called a board operator up at Tantalk that knows what the heck they're doing for us.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll
have County Golf Association.
Exactly.
Yoda's County Golf will be calling in.
That's next week. Yes, that's perfect.
Next week.
All right, my man.
All right, Mike. Enjoyed it.
What do you got going on the rest of the week? Anything?
Maybe tee it up maybe a couple times during the week. Maybe practice a little bit.
I'm going to start practicing. Getting ready for the Hack Nation. Then we'll talk about taking a trip south.
That'll be
from
fun.
The Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by Coors Light. I'm Mike Rickard for Gary Sermons, John Rieger, Joe Berdow, and Big Ed on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida on this beautiful weekend in Florida. Come on down to St. Pete to Ferg's and watch the Open and the 3M. God bless you. God bless America. Keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.